Good evening. I'm Jeff Bennett. Tonight on PBS News Weekend, climate crisis with fires burning out of control in California and much of the country under heat advisories, the global climate emergency hits home. Then, thrifting for change, the economic and environmental costs of buying new clothes fuels a more sustainable thrifting trend.
Buy secondhand, but when you buy new stuff, buy durability, stuff that can be reused, that can feed that secondhand economy.
And what to watch? With so many options, NPR TV critic Eric Deggans walks us through some of his top summer picks. All that and the day's headlines on tonight's PBS News Weekend. Good evening. It is good to be with you. And we begin tonight with a fast-spreading fire that's burning out of control in California at the doorstep of Yosemite National Park. Hot and dry conditions linked to climate change are making it an exceptionally tough fire to fight.
The flames moved so swiftly, residents had very little warning to get out. The fire engulfed entire homes in the sparsely populated mountain communities of Mariposa County. So far, more than 6,000 people have been forced to evacuate. The Oak Fire ignited Friday afternoon and since then has exploded in size, more than doubling from Saturday into Sunday to 22 square miles. Enabling the fire, bone-dry vegetation after the worst drought in a decade. Cal Fire authorities report more than 2,000 firefighters are battling the blaze that so far is 0% contained. The Oak Fire is so large it's visible from the International Space Station, drifting over a swath of the western United States. That says 85 million people across the country this weekend are under excessive heat warnings or advisories. In some places, temperatures hitting triple digits.
Joining us now to talk more about the role of climate change in all of this is Michael Mann. He's a professor of atmospheric science at Penn State University and author of The New Climate War. Michael, it's good to have you with us. And look, we've got record heat from coast to coast, drought in the south and the west. You've got pervasive wildfires, as this map that we're going to put up makes clear. Does all of this mean that climate change is happening faster than expected?
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. It's good to be with you. It's unfortunate we're always talking about these sorts of very damaging extreme weather events these days. And yeah, there are some impacts of climate change that are playing out faster and with a greater magnitude than we predicted just, say, a decade ago or so. That's true with the collapse of the ice sheets and the sea level rise that's occurring because of that. And it's true with many of these extreme summer weather events that we're seeing. And one of the ingredients, of course, is, you make the planet warmer, you're going to see more extreme heat. You dry out the continents in the summer, you're going to get worse drought. You combine that heat and drought, and you get the sorts of wildfires that we've seen out west in California and throughout the western United States in recent years. But there's an extra ingredient there that isn't actually very well captured in the models. And that's the behavior of the jet stream that causes these high and low pressure systems to get stuck in place. And when you get one of these deep high pressures like we have out west right now over California and the western U.S., that's when you get those extremely hot, dry conditions that give you these wildfires. And what's happening is those systems are getting stuck in place. So the extreme heat that we've seen, the floods, the wildfires, the drought across the entire northern hemisphere this summer, part of what's going on is this sort of stuck jet stream pattern. It is something that we think is being made more frequent because of climate change, and it isn't well captured in the models. It's another reminder that uncertainty isn't our friend here.
Hmm. Are the heat waves across the globe connected? I asked the question because we saw parts of Oklahoma hit 115 degrees this past week. Meantime, you've got airport runways melting in the UK from the heat. Is all of that connected?
It is connected. I mean, obviously, you make the planet warmer, you get more of that extreme summer heat. So there's that connection. But there's also this behavior of the jet stream, where you get these very large meanders. When the jet stream wiggles north and south dramatically, that means that there are big weather systems underneath. They're big high and low pressure systems. And that's where you get either with a high pressure, the extreme heat drought and those wildfires, or with a low pressure, the extreme flooding. And so we've seen this summer after summer. It's sort of Groundhog Day now here. Every summer now, we see this phenomenon. Part of it is pretty basic. It's easy to explain in terms of human-caused warming, but some of the mechanisms are more subtle. And again, they are one of the reasons the models may be underestimating the impact that climate change is now having on these devastating extreme events that we're seeing every summer.
It's interesting. Former Vice President Al Gore was on a number of the Sunday shows this morning, and he made that same point, that some of the warnings about climate change might have been, in many ways, too conservative. Take a look at this.
And the fact that they were dead right, maybe a little conservative even in their projections, should cause us to pay more careful attention to what they're warning us about now. They're saying that if we don't stop using our atmosphere as an open sewer, and if we don't stop these heat-trapping emissions, things are going to get a lot worse.
So what do you make of that?
Yeah, well, you know, Al Gore was out there in front warning us decades ago, as the scientific community was warning us decades ago. And what we're seeing happen now is our predictions playing out. That's the sad part of this. We understood that we had a crisis on our hands decades ago, but because of inaction, much of it because of the fossil fuel industry and politicians who refuse to act on climate, we've allowed this problem now to grow to epic proportions, to the point where we're seeing the devastating consequences play out in real time.
President Biden, as you know, he's trying to keep his faltering climate change agenda alive by taking executive action, since you have Democratic Senator Joe Manchin and all of the Senate Republicans withholding their vote on legislative action. Are executive actions enough? And what more should the private sector do on their own? I would think that good climate policy would also be, in many ways, good business policy.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Jeff. And you are seeing some companies take a more enlightened view, recognizing that, you know, that their customers, that their clients expect environmental stewardship. This is weighing on the minds of Americans increasingly, these devastating impacts that we're seeing from extreme weather events that have been exacerbated by climate change. And so it is important that business be out in front, lobbying politicians to act on our collective behalf to do what's right here. But you're right. Right now, we're sort of stuck with this split Congress with, you know, a Democrat in Joe Manchin who refuses to support his fellow Democrats in passing climate legislation. There's a limit to what you can do through executive actions. The Biden administration is doing what it can. But the most important thing it can do right now is to use the bully pulpit to convey the absolutely essential importance of turning out in these midterm elections this fall and voting for politicians who will support climate legislation. Because the only way that we are going to be able to live up to our obligations to the rest of the world, to cut our carbon emissions in half by 2030, as we've promised, the only way that'll happen is if we pass climate legislation. And we need a Congress that's willing to do that. And if we have, you know, Congress people who aren't willing to do that, we need to vote them out, and we need to vote in those who will.
Michael Mann, it's always great to speak with you, circumstances aside. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Jeff.
In the day's other headlines, President Biden's COVID symptoms continue to, quote, improve significantly, according to a new letter from the president's physician today. The president's body aches, runny nose, and cough have diminished, and his main symptom is now said to be a sore throat. Earlier today, the White House COVID-19 response coordinator said those considered close contacts of the president have so far continued to test negative.
17 is the number that we are tracking in the White House medical unit. None of them have tested positive as of late yesterday. Obviously, all those people have been contacted. They are they're following CDC protocol, and we'll continue to follow them.
Dr. Jha also confirmed that the president was infected with the highly contagious Omicron subvariant BA5. It accounts for nearly 80% of infections in the U.S. Pope Francis arrived in Canada today for a week of meetings with indigenous communities. The Vatican says the purpose of the trip is to ask forgiveness for historical abuses of Native children at residential schools once run by the Catholic Church. Indigenous leaders greeted the Pope, who's in a wheelchair due to a knee injury. For more than a century, over 150,000 indigenous children were sent to state-funded schools as a means of forced assimilation into white Christian society. One of the most horrific aspects, the children were subjected to widespread physical and sexual abuse. At least 3,200 children died during that period, according to a report funded by the Canadian government. A volcano on Japan's southernmost island erupted on Sunday night, triggering a level 5 high alert for the region. Flames, molten rock, and spewing ash were seen rising high into the night sky. Sakajirima is one of the most active volcanoes in Japan and has repeatedly erupted, including several times in the last few years. The eruption prompted evacuations, but the Japanese government says there are no reports of damage or injuries. And cycling's biggest race, the Tour de France, has a new champion, and the nation of Denmark gets the bragging rights. Danish cyclist Jonas Vingegaard beat the defending champ after finishing as a runner-up just last year. Vingegaard has only raced professionally for 3 years, and he's the first Danish rider to win cycling's biggest race in over 25 years. And still to come on PBS News Weekend, the costs of fast fashion fuel a rise in thrift shopping, and what movies and TV to watch this summer.
This is PBS News Weekend from WETA Studios in Washington, home of the PBS NewsHour. Weeknights on PBS.
Thrift shopping has taken on a completely new life. One reason, the EPA calculates that unwanted clothing and footwear resulted in 13 million tons of waste back in 2018. Rhode Island PBS Weekly's Isabella Jabillian reports on how many young people are now turning to thrifting to help the environment and their wallets.
Imagine what it would be like to not buy any new clothes.
So in 2017, I got a striped shirt that was like, I said, like, this is my last new thing I'm ever going to get.
That was the goal for Hanrei Yan, a student at Rhode Island School of Design. He went nearly 2 years without buying a single new item of clothing. What did you do instead?
One, like, buying used, so going through thrift stores, finding things. It's more based on like need rather than want, so buying less and getting less.
He also learned how to sew his own clothes, darn socks, and make his own repairs.
I think you can see in the pocket here, like originally there's no bottom in the pocket. So.
Jan says his new approach to shopping began when he saw how clothes were made and how it affects the environment.
Huge amounts of water are used to like produce a single yard of fabric, or especially in dyes and processing and agriculture too. Like cotton is a pretty like water hungry plant.
And he says not too many people know that polyester comes from drilling oil and synthetics shed.
Fabrics make fuzz. It's the lint that comes out in your dryer, and from synthetic fabrics, that's microplastics.
One study found that a polyester garment can cast off more than 1,900 fibers in a single wash, which then make their way through sewers and into waterways. And Jan really reached a tipping point after seeing reports about the frequent human rights abuses when making fast, cheap clothes. In Bangladesh, environmental and labor laws are frequently ignored in the $1 billion export leather industry. Wastewater with harmful chemicals is dumped into neighborhood streams. The water seen here is actually dyed blue because of the process. Workers process skins without protective gear, exposing them to known cancer-causing agents like chromium. And child workers are frequently seen operating heavy machinery. Fast fashion also causes problems long after it's been made. Author and journalist Adam Minter has written about the global recycling industry for the past 2 decades.
I mean, one of the things that's happened over the last 25 years, really, is that garments have become more difficult to recycle. And that's where you start seeing large amounts of textile waste.
And Minter says this is why, in part, we're seeing a thrifting trend.
Because of the development of, you know, of apps, the Poshmarks, the ThredUps, you know, various other apps, eBay, people are able to post for sale their old garments straight out of their closet, and they're purchased that way.
We grab something and we love it, we'll wear it a couple times and then we'll sell it.
24-year-old Jacqueline Jutris uses Depop, a resale app that's a favorite among Gen Z.
A lot of people selling clothing online starts with, like, the closet clean out. Like, for sure, that's where it starts. You can put a towel over it and then just iron it quick.
Jutris recently made her 700th sale on the platform.
It's very sustainable in that, you know, it's all being purchased secondhand.
Offline, Jutris hunts for deals at the Goodwill outlet in Hamden, Connecticut. She calls it the bins. Here, they sell by the pound, and the more you buy, the cheaper it is. Every half hour, new bins roll onto the floor. It's serious business for their main clientele, pickers, people who buy in bulk and resell.
There should be no hands on the tables until the rotation is complete.
Everyone has to wait for a signal before they can compete for the best clothes.
All set?
The leftover clothes head through the doors to Goodwill's recycling center. They're tipped onto a conveyor belt, compressed into 1,000-pound bales, and then stacked. They might be shredded and used to stuff cushions, cut into rags, or get exported abroad. It's just a small slice of a global secondhand market.
And there's all kinds of consumer survey data showing that younger consumers, Gen Z, starting with Gen Z primarily, are open to this idea of use and reuse.
But he says their excitement hasn't made a dent in the massive market for new clothes. But some retailers, like Patagonia and Superstore Walmart, are listening. They now offer secondhand on their websites.
This is part of, you know, a massive consumer shift that's not necessarily going to happen overnight, but I do think we are seeing a change where you are going to have secondhand used clothing as a bigger part of the overall apparel retail chain.
What's your short take on what's the most responsible way to be a consumer of clothes?
Buy secondhand, but when you buy new stuff, buy durability, stuff that can be reused, that can feed that secondhand economy.
Back at Rhode Island School of Design, Henri Yon continues to sew and thrift. But after nearly 2 years, his strict no-new-clothes streak came to an end.
I think I broke it for dress socks, actually.
And socks weren't the only challenge.
Underwear, that was one of the things that did end the buying new clothes thing, is getting new underwear.
I don't think anyone blames you for that one.
Yeah, so I'm definitely not so strict anymore. Every once in a while, if I need something and I can't make it or don't have the time to make it and can't find it and fit it and repair it, then I'll go and get something new. So it's kind of like getting something new is the last resort if all my other things don't work out.
For PBS News Weekend, I'm Isabella Jabilian in Providence, Rhode Island.
From Top Gun to the latest Thor and Minions movies, summer blockbusters are making a comeback. Studios and theaters have been vying for moviegoers to return given COVID hesitancy and increasingly fierce competition from streaming services. And the big studios and streaming giants battling it out means there's no shortage of content for movie and TV viewers. NPR TV critic Eric Deggans joins us now to talk more about what we're watching and how we're watching it. It's great to have you with us, Eric. And I think, you know, I, like a lot of people, have, what, 4 or 5 streaming apps, yet can never find anything to watch. So help us out. What are you watching? You're the expert.
There's a bunch of great shows. Right now, Better Call Saul on AMC is in the final episodes of the series. It's going to go away in a little bit. And it's the best show on television, so people should definitely check it out. There's a show called The Bear on FX that has finished its first season run, but it's a really great show about a chef who returns to his family's kind of rundown sandwich shop and tries to run it. There's also a wonderful show called The Old Man on FX that Jeff Bridges is starring in. So a lot of great stuff on television and a lot of great stuff that you can catch up on pretty easily.
You mentioned The Old Man. We have a clip of it. Let's take a look.
Apparently, we can match the transponder's location to the location of the phone moving with it and then reverse engineer the number. That one surprised me. I didn't know that was a thing we could do. I tell you this partly to remind you that you have no idea how different the game is than the last time you played it. And partly because you've got about 3 minutes before they're on top of you.
So it's hard to go wrong with Jeff Bridges and John Lithgow. What's that show all about?
So Jeff Bridges plays a CIA agent who was living under an assumed name for a long time. And suddenly he gets the sense that someone from his past is trying to kill him. And he thinks the CIA may be trying to help them do it. So he tries to go on the run. He has a daughter that he's trying to keep hidden as well, who he talks to. And he winds up enlisting the aid of a woman who's kind of innocent to it all, played by Amy Brenneman. It's a really interesting series that's as much about aging and about dealing with the legacy of all the decisions you've made as an adult. There are points in this show that can kind of feel like an acting exercise. There's a little too much, you know, really sort of heart-rending scenes between two people. But when the show really gets going, it is really wonderful.
You mentioned the FX show The Bear, which is streaming right now on Hulu. That's my favorite show at the moment. I will say it is stressful to watch, but it's enthralling. And as you mentioned, it's about this superstar chef who returns home to Chicago, takes over the family business after the death by suicide of his brother.
I didn't know my brother was using drugs. What does that say? As we got older, I realized I didn't know anything about him, really. He stopped letting me into the restaurant a couple of years ago. He just cut me off cold, and that hurt, you know?
So that's the actor Jeremy Allen White. Why is that show connecting with you, Eric?
What's wonderful to me about this show is that it depicts a very specific environment, the kitchen in a struggling sandwich shop in Chicago. I grew up in Gary, Indiana, right next to Chicago. Chicago has a very specific feel. They do a great job of evoking what those kind of sandwich shops are like and the way people yell at each other behind the counter, even though the patrons are right there and can hear them. And on top of all of that, you know, this is a guy who was trained in some of the best kitchens in New York, and that he's trying to bring some of those values in there. And he has quite a tough time about it, but you get to learn a little bit about how you know, those kitchens work. It's a great character study too. You eventually find out that a lot of the characters are hiding things from themselves, and all of that gets peeled away as you start to see them have friction with each other and try to deal with this situation that they're in. I really enjoyed the show.
Let's talk about Netflix, because they are changing their business model. So you're either going to pay more for your subscription, or you'll pay less, but there will be commercials. What do you think? Are the glory days of streaming over?
I don't know about that. I think what is happening is that Wall Street is being forced to have a more realistic view of what streaming can actually do. Netflix offered this promise to investors and Wall Street that they could continually and constantly increase their subscriber count. And they found that in the wake of increasing their prices this year, in the wake of you know, problems with inflation and people looking you know, at their bottom line a little closer, and in the wake of a flood of competition from other streaming services like Disney Plus and Hulu, their subscriber count has gone down by about 1.2 million people. So I think we're going to see less spending on new projects. I think we're going to see them try to crack down on the 100 million households who are getting Netflix for free by sharing passwords. And I think we're going to see them try to offer a cheaper tier of subscriber. So if they'll offer you a much reduced fee and you watch a few ads, it might be a win-win for everybody if you think about it.
Yeah, the way we watch changing what we watch. Eric Deggans, NPR's TV critic, appreciate you as always.
Always a pleasure.
And that is our show for tonight. I'm Jeff Bennett. For all of us here at PBS News Weekend, thanks for spending part of your Sunday with us. Have a great week.